Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson, who's been thrown by Rick's deviation from the norm and the intro.
Yeah, add an extra word. Just keep on your feet.
In the 2-3 years we've been doing this, I did not expect that to happen right now.
Well, there you go, mate. I'm full of surprises. We're speaking with Marcus Brown. He's probably better known as Marathon Marcus, about his incredible
the
running
Marathon
journey.
Marcus.
The we've Marathon make, Marcus.
The, yeah, I, yeah. You're hearing my intro, I call him Marathon Marcus, and then he says the is incredibly important because otherwise you'll be looking for someone else on Instagram, not him.
There are other Marathon Marcus out there, but we want the one.
Okay. The Marathon Marcus is the best one to look for.
Yeah,
and it was a good chat with him.
It was good. Well, what a remarkable marathon journey. Like I think his first marathon was almost 5 hours, and now he's below three. So it's quite a progression. And some of the things he says about how he got there, I think, are really interesting for people, regardless of the kind of marathon time they're trying to do.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. How's your running?
Runners are right. I guess by the time this comes out, we would have taken part in the ASICS World Ekiden. So this is this long distance relay that they're getting everyone to do. So a bit of background for those
they're
who don't
getting
know
everyone
how much
to do. Yeah, but, like they're forcing everyone.
Do it. Why are you in the Ekiden?
No, we're just suckers. We just like going running. So we've decided to do it. Not an advert, everyone. Hey, not an advert. We've just taking part.
Just taking part. Quick bit of Ekiden chat for those unfamiliar with the format. Huge in Japan, massive in Japan. It's like it's a long distance relay. In Japan, it's almost bigger than marathon running. So like a lot of their top runners don't bother so much with the marathon. They're all about the Ekiden. And it's kind of, you pass over this sash. And it can vary in distance and amount of people in the team. I think it can be up to about sort of 27 people in the really big ones. And often people are running about half a marathon. But this one, it's teams of six who've got to run a marathon in total. So we're going to try and do a sub three marathon with six people. That's the idea anyway.
Yeah, good luck to us.
Well, Ekiden's aside, Rick, I've got a bit of an update for you, which I'm sure you'll like, being a man who enjoys a running buggy.
Oh, absolutely. Please, tell me more.
Guess where this story's going. I have a running buggy.
You've got a running buggy?
I didn't have one with the eldest. I kind of didn't want to get involved in taking him out in a buggy, but I've got one now for the younger one. And I feel like it's going to be super great, and he's going to really love it, sort of, maybe. But I'll enjoy it.
Well, I'll be interested to know what you think about it, because I think a lot of people, they invest in a running buggy, and they're quite a lot of money, and then they're a little bit like, oh, you know what? I don't use it as much as I thought I would, and actually, I want my running to be a little time where I'm not a parent. So, but some people, it's a huge success.
That's
so,
why I never got one.
Yeah.
That's why I never got one, because I wanted the running to be the small period of time that was separate from parenting. But yeah, now I've got one, so there's no escape. I will let you know, this one is an interesting one. It's made by a company called Cybex, and it's a partnership with Puma. But what's interesting about it is that it comes with like a waist harness, so you can pull it behind you rather than just the traditional pushing.
Like a tyre? Like pulling a tyre?
Kind of like, yeah, like yeah, basically, like you would imagine Rocky training for a fight, pulling a tire along the icy streets. I'll be doing the same, but with a child. Anyway, look, let's talk to our guest of the week.
Let's do it. Guest of the week, here in the studio. Guest of the week, sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete,
could be a physio, or a complete unknown. Marcus Brown, a.k.a. Marathon Marcus, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Thanks for the intro. It's really great to speak to you both. Been a big fan of the show, so it's great to actually finally to speak with you.
Oh, great. There's going to be some serious inter-podcast backpatting going on here. This is going to be really good. Marcus, just for anyone who's not familiar with your work or who you are, just give us an idea, just a sort of description of who you are.
Yeah, sure. So first and foremost, I'm a husband and father. On Instagram, people know me as The Marathon Marcus. I've been on Instagram and I've been talking about my marathon journey, particularly for the World Marathon Majors, working from like a 4:55 marathon down to 2:56 marathon. Outside of that, I'm a podcaster for Runners Life Podcast. I'm a co-founder and trustee for the Black Trail Runners, talking about inclusion and diversity. And I'm also doing my coaching badges at the minute. So lots going on at the moment.
Nice. How are you finding that?
Yeah, really cool. I think I just really want to give back, to be honest. That's my sort of primary aim, because I've had a lot of help as well from my side getting to where I am. I'm not saying I've arrived anywhere. I've still got a long way to go, but I think it's always cool to try and help people out as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's nice. I think that's, you get so much from the running community, don't you? Like, people kind of like help you along your way, and it does feel like giving back is like the complete circle.
Yeah, 100%. And even your current episode with Charlie Dark, I've got to give him a shout out. Like, he's helped me out so much, you know, from when I've known him. And it's funny because I remember the first time I think I was running New York City Marathon. This is going to sound like a really humble brag, doesn't it? But I remember I was running past and he saw me 2016 and he went, "Keep going, Marcus." I was like, how the hell does he know who I am? So,
How's your training going at the moment? Running, training, how's it all going at the moment?
Yeah, so I just recently finished the London Marathon a few weeks back and, you know, took some time off to kind of process that and get back into training. So the next thing for me now is the Seville Marathon in February. So that's going really well so far.
That's good. Rick, have you ever done that one?
I haven't actually. I know it's meant to be, it's a popular one, isn't it? I know like Valencia is popular as well, same sort of thing. You mentioned like going from a 4:55 to 2:56 marathon, is that right? Those three. It's pretty remarkable. I don't think there are many runners who have gone on such an amazing marathon journey as that. What do you think has allowed you to you know, shave, we're talking like 2 hours, aren't we? We took 2 hours off your marathon time, because not a lot of people will ever do that, I don't think.
It's hard to sort of comment for other people, but I guess for me the main thing, it's going to sound really boring, it's just consistency. And at the beginning I didn't really have a coach, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just kind of going between 16 week programs and doing nothing, and then doing 16 weeks and wondering why nothing was happening. Then I got a coach and I was working with him for a few years, and then things started to kind of gradually reduce down slowly. And yeah, so I would say, yeah, working with my coach has been a big help to really just understand the structure of what you're doing during the year and when to do it. So yeah, without people helping you, you know, would I've got there? Who knows? I might have got there a bit later, but you know, if you've got people that, you know what they're doing, it helps you sort of reduce a lot of the mistakes that you would have taken by yourself getting there.
So when you ran 4:55, like, what was, just very briefly, like what kind of running and training were you doing then, and to the difference of running 2:56. You don't have to go into all like the granular detail, but just some of the kind of major differences between those two people.
I mean, even if you look at like the pictures of me on social, it just looked different. I didn't have a watch. Yeah, right. I didn't have the sporty watches or anything like that. I was kind of wearing my football kit, and you know, I think mentally, I guess it was there. I just didn't really believe it at the time. Mm. It was way off, and for me, it was more about finishing. But you know, the marathon finds you out, and especially I remember, because the first time I did London, I did 4:55, I did all the rookie mistakes. And you know what it's like in London, it's really busy at the beginning of the race. So I was ducking and diving and I was sprinting and doing everything that I wouldn't have done in training, because I was just running slowly, running one pace. And then I decided to sprint in different bits, and then, you know, blew up spectacularly. And then from about mile 8, it was just really painful towards the end. And yeah, I mean, I remember getting to like the Docklands area, and that's where it gets a little bit thinner and spread out. And I remember seeing my wife there, and I was just like, look, I don't think I can do this. Like, I literally really wanted to walk off the course, but she gave me a proper talking to at the time. And thankfully for her, like, I finished it, because I think, I don't know what would have happened if I, you know, would have walked off. I mean, would have had a bigger impact. So it was like, there's so many factors in trying to work out like what, you know, the difference is. But I would say having good people, the consistent training, knowing what you're doing, because I just didn't really have a structure.
Mm. Was that a sort of, was that your first like journey into running? Did you, were you running consistently anyway, just for like, you know, health in general? Or were you, did you sort of like take the marathon on as your first big thing?
That's a really good point, because when you look at some pro runners and people look at them, they forget that they've been running since they were like knee high. And I started running as a bet from a friend after university. So I was really way down the line. Do you know what I mean? And it takes a long time to get that structural strength anyways, regardless of the mental stuff. So yeah, I mean, it was a long process there and a difference.
Yeah, massive. And also that first marathon can really put people off. Like if it is, you know, you get to, you know, it's they're really hard. Like it's a sort of a, they've become that sort of benchmark of I will achieve this bucket list distance. And that's fantastic. Like everyone should try and do it, but there's that sort of like, oh, I'm never doing that again. That was way too hard. And as you say, like just to finish it and to go back is like, that's the almost the harder bit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And like you said, you never really run that distance anyways in training. I didn't. And it was really unknown territory. So there was lots of things that I didn't really know a lot about fueling and how to pace it correctly. And, but yeah, you mean you don't know what you don't know at the time. So you can't be too harsh on yourself. And it's been, when I look back at it, it's amazing now to almost prove myself right. Because I remember like going into work and people were just like, you know, people go, oh, you ran a marathon. People go, what time did you run? And it's like 4:55. And they look at you just like, what the hell is that? You know? And they tell you to your face and it's like, wow. So it was quite hard to take for sure. But then you just like, you just got to keep backing yourself. And I just kept trying to come back and try to learn. And, you know, I just don't really let that put me off really.
What I like about your journey as well is that you got close a lot of times. I think this is applicable to lots of different times, right? There's definitely a story out there, someone who's trying to break 5 hours or break in 4 hours or even quicker, trying to get a championship time, you know, 2:45 or whatever. But you got really close to what you were going for, the 3 hour. Did you ever think, oh, you know what, it's just not going to happen? Like, this is going to be one of those things for me that's just sort of like slightly out of reach. Or did you always think, if I just keep, you know, knuckling down at this will happen?
It's always hard to retrospectively answer that. But I think, like, yeah, obviously there are doubts. I mean, you'd be lying if you said you didn't have doubts. But I always, like I said, I always believe that I was getting closer. So, for example, like you said, it took me 4 times to get to sub 3. So I did 3:05 in Manchester, 3:01 in Berlin, and I did 3 hours and 19 seconds in New York.
Oh.
So, I mean, that was tough. But then I think, like, each time you get closer, I kept thinking of like the Elliott's quote when he tried to break 2 and he's like, oh, you know, the world is like X amount of seconds closer. And I was always just said like that in my head. So I also, you obviously feel disappointed, but then you'd be like, look, I'm closer than I was before. And then each step I got closer. So by the time you get to 3:19, you're like, literally, I'm just there. And on New York as yeah, well, yeah, it's yeah. like, look.
Oh, New York's so much harder.
Yeah.
It's so much harder. Like you, yeah. you yeah, do that in true, Berlin, yeah. and you know that you would have done it.
Yeah,
it's sort of, yeah. There's even in my head, I was making reasons up for you, just even off them times. So I was just like,
yeah, people say that to you, like, yeah, you know, if you ran in Berlin, be like, thanks for trying to make me feel better, but I yeah. still haven't done it yet.
It didn't do it. How did it? How did it feel then when you did?
It was amazing in one hand, because basically I did the sub 3 at the Dorney Lake Marathon. And the cool thing about that was, although we didn't have the spectators there, we had like the atmosphere from the runners. And I just remember going there and just being so driven. I just knew, like, I had quite a few training runs that went really well. So I think mentally, I just believed that it was going to happen. I thought there was like, there's literally no way that it's not going to happen. So that was a really good thing. And yeah, so it was the weather wasn't great in some aspects. You know, it was like in Dorney Lake, like I think we had crosswinds at the first 2 laps, and then the wind direction changed and you were just getting headwinds in one direction and obviously and then tailwinds at the other end. So yeah, the last 2 laps were tough, but I was just determined to do it after what happened in New York. But it was like a massive anticlimax, because you cross the line, you've done it, and then you've got to walk to pick up your medal, and then you walk back to your car.
Yeah,
it's so strange.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Hey, you're done. You yeah. finished, bike.
Yeah. Well done. But it's yeah. a good metaphor for life, though, as well, because, like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes we put these massive things on these achievements, and I mean, they are big, but like, once the moment's over, the moment's over, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's like a Zen Buddhist thing, like we're saying, it's a before enlightenment, chopping wood. after enlightenment chopping wood. It's kind of the same thing, but something's changed, but it's actually the activity remains kind of fairly constant. I'm guessing though that with the marathon for you, it's people who really get into the marathon, it's not just about times, I guess. It's kind of about, we've had Vassos Alexander on here, and he says it's about the person that marathon training helps you to become. Did you find that you were changing as a man as well as a runner with your progression through the marathon?
Yeah, 100%. And the thing about social media is sometimes when I put my goals out there, people might just assume that I'm running just for times. Like, literally, that is my only motivation. And anyone that's been running for a certain amount of time, although you want to be your best and you want to get times, like, that can't be like your number one thing, because it's just not enough, because it's very black and white. Like, if you get it, great, but if you don't get it, then what do you do? Stop running. So you need to have something deeper than that, and like, have the gratitude as well. And something I just try to remind myself, even in like runs where, like, you know, you get up and you think, oh, I'm not feeling this today, but you start running, like, oh, I feel the wind against my face, and I can move through space, like, I'm healthy, I can do this. Like, sometimes we just forget, and we're just so focused on the times, but these are the kind of things that I think about. But obviously it doesn't make the most sexy of like Instagram posts, so I don't always talk about it.
I was going to ask about this, because social media offers up such a wonderful platform for everyone to discuss their running and to show what they're up to, and you know, it is a massively positive part of the community and all that sort of stuff, but it does equally have a downside to it. And you are, and you're a significant person on Instagram in the running community. How do you find social media and running go hand in hand?
Yeah, it's a difficult one to answer, because when I first started social media, it was more because I didn't really want to annoy my regular friends about running. so I decided to create this account, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. But it's a difficult one, because on one hand, people might say, like, you know, you have to, people are putting a mask on, or they're not being authentic. But the way that I look at it is that I think, am I telling my version, my definition of what a runner's life means to me? And that's all I can do, really. I mean, I can't share everything. And to be honest, people probably wouldn't want to see everything I do anyways. It'd just be boring, you know. So I think as long as you're comfortable and happy with the way that you do things and present yourself, and you know why you're doing it, then there's not much anyone else can say to you. Obviously, people are going to have opinions. Like, for example, if I put on my training times or what I'm doing strength-wise, you know, people are going to have an opinion about it, without knowing the full context of it. But I know that, like, they don't know the picture, so you have to really, it gives you like a thicker skin the more you do it, to be honest, because you know everyone's got an opinion. But then the thing is, like, if you didn't do anything, people would have an opinion on you anyway, so you don't win anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I want to talk about the film you made before London. This Is Our London. Ben and I both really liked it, and there's some interesting stuff that came up. I think it was Charlie Duck who said he thought that if you hadn't run the London Marathon, you weren't really a Londoner, which is a controversial,
incredible statement,
opinion. But I'm going with that. I'm like, yeah, it's good. I mean, I think it is an essential London experience, definitely. What did you want to communicate with a film like that? And what was it like, sort of process of making it?
Before I answer that, I know I'm going to do the podcast thing and turn it back on you, but it'd be really interesting to get your feedback on the film and what you sort of got from it before I answer that question.
I think for me, it was interesting. I'm always interested in what, like, the different things that running means to people. And there was an interesting female runner on there who said, she admitted that actually occasionally that she's used running as a band-aid for too many things. Mm. I'm thinking that, you know, if running can fix all my problems in life. And actually she was coming to the more kind of level conclusion that actually there was, running was part of a solution for a balanced life, but it couldn't do everything. So I really liked that aspect of it.
I thought it was probably a more honest take on what running means to a lot of people. I mean, you know, and especially like London Marathon is such a massive event, and I guess a lot of the media around it gets quite glossy. And I feel like this was kind of a slightly more stripped back, and the significance of the race to people that perhaps, you know, voices and cultures and, I don't know, people that might not have interacted with before, and you get an insight into what it means to them. And I think that's, that for me, that was, you know, because London is such a great place and such a hotbed of culture and life, and it's just kind of nice to see all angles being covered, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. No, thank you for sharing that, because I think sometimes when you do these things, you create them, you kind of get lost because you're so focused on it, so you'd never really get the other side and other people's opinions. But basically this film came together about 3 to 4 weeks before the London Marathon, so it was a lot of effort, and my friend Matt Folds helped me put it together and produced it and edited it. So yeah, without Matt I think it wouldn't have happened, but ended up doing a lot of the interviews, getting that all done. And for me, the focus really of the film, like you said, it was just basically talking about what London means to the runners. You know, from, I know what we said about Charlie and making that comment, I love that comment anyways, but for me, one of the differences about the London Marathon compared to some of the other majors is, like, you can tell, like, almost like the London Marathon starts when you leave your house, you see other runners heading towards a train station or whatever.
I completely agree, and I love that. I was lucky enough to be a pacer a couple of years, so you're there with, like, in your kind of pacing outfit, and yeah, and it's the whole experience starts kind of on the bus, because somebody else has got, you know, the marathon bag, you know, trainers on, and it's yeah, I love all that stuff. Love all that part, yeah, of it.
100%. And for me, it's the people, like, it's like the stories that you don't hear, like when you spoke about Sally, and, you know, a lot of people probably have used sport as a way to try to run away from things, and she actually clearly explained, like, the reasons why it doesn't work, and I think that's really powerful. Or when Scott talked about, you know, as runners, sometimes we can be so self-absorbed about, like, how great running is, and then our other halves are like, all right, you've done a marathon, when are you coming home?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I just, it's love sort of seeing all these sides, and just, like, basically the growth in people, and that's what you don't see, and then the impact it has on the other aspects of their life. So for me, it was really cool to see that, as opposed to kind of like some of the other things that we've seen in regards to kind of marathon films and of that nature.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Totally. Yeah, there was another great film out probably about 6 years ago now. I think it was just called The Runners, and it was Ivo Gormley, you know, the guy who does Good Gym. He actually did it, but it was around Victoria Park. Park.
Yeah.
Love that. And it was just kind of showing that people are prepared to maybe open up more when they're moving. And I think that's probably true of walking as well as running, but it was a great film. You didn't really have to be a runner to get something from it. It was just very human. And I think that's the best part of running, is that it's a human story.
Yeah, no, thank you for saying that, and I think I got that impression from my wife as well, because she's not really a runner in the sense of, she loves team sports and that kind of thing, but she won't do like a marathon. So I put it on for her, and I knew that the test was, like, if she didn't like it, she would just stop watching it. So she watched it all the way through. She's like, no, it's really good, because obviously, like, you know, you've got the human side there, so it really connects to what you've just said there. So I knew that once Mrs. B liked it, then I was on to a good thing.
You mentioned early on that you are now looking into coaching and getting the qualifications around that, and the main motivation behind that was to give something back to running. Could you give us some details about the kind of, what would you like to give back to the running community? Is it training other runners to achieve, you know, their own marathon goals, or what is it?
So I don't want it to come across like I'm just trying to do like an Instagram-y thing of just like setting up my coaching thing and I'm just going to go off and like put stuff out there. That's not what I'm looking to do. So when I started running, like my coach John, he helped me, you know, quite a lot for free, and then obviously ended up paying for it in the end. But because I thought, you know, it's just worth his time. But he helped me out for free at the start, and I'm still with him. And I feel like it's almost selfish, you know. I mean, if you get the help, to not pass it on. And sometimes you forget yourself, like what the experience that you do have. But obviously, you want to put that alongside structures as well. So I'm doing obviously like LERF. I've done LERF. I've done surf. So coaching in running fitness. So just following the kind of UK Athletics program, and obviously then that's part and parcel of the work that we're doing at Black Trail Runners. So we're looking at, you know, working with people within that to help them out, help our community out, to you know, to do whatever they're looking at doing. But obviously, you know, running is a wide ranging thing. So I'm going to be focusing mainly on the road stuff at the moment, because you could, you know what I mean? Like arm drive, for example, is a minefield that you could look at completely differently from, you know, a marathon down to like, you know, a mile. So yeah, for me, it's just focusing mainly on kind of helping marathoners, road runners in that sort of aspect. But yeah, for free at the moment. And that's what I'm, because it happened, you know what I mean? People help me out. So I've got to be a bit careful now that I've said that, because I'm probably going to get loads of DMs, people saying, can you coach me for free? But I'm,
yeah, exactly.
I've got a couple of people which I'm helping for free just to see how it goes. And yeah, I think for me, that's important, just to do it without kind of expecting anything back.
I think that's really, really laudable. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely someone who's got lots from running on lots of levels. And yeah, I think to give something back is a great thing to do. And like you say, it feels right, I think, if you can do it. Can we briefly talk about Black Trail Runners? We've had episodes with Black Trail Runners on before, and we're, you know, huge fans of what you guys are trying to achieve. But maybe for anyone listening who's not that familiar with Black Trail Runners, could you give us a quick overview on what it's all about and the kind of some of the ambitions of the group?
Yeah, so essentially a group of us came together following kind of recent events in regards to kind of Black Lives Matter. Well, the recent Black Lives Matter movement, a version of it, because obviously there's been several versions of it. And we're just kind of thinking, what could we do? And this is just one way that we decided to kind of try to focus, you know, getting more representation, more diversity. Because I know people look at, you know, road running and think, oh, you know, there's loads of Black people there, especially at the high level. But, you know, I could even argue that. But, like, you know, I don't see Elliot running in the streets of Hackney. You know, I don't see those guys there.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
It's a completely different. So, I mean, like, you could even argue about some diversity there. But people will say, well, you know, there's no access barriers, da 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 da. So I think for us, we're kind of saying, like, outside of like the main areas within the UK, typically there's going to be less people of color, you know, exploring the open spaces, and that could be running, that could just be, you know, walking, whatever. And that's not saying that there's like a barrier, an invisible barrier of like you can't leave London if you're Black or like you get stopped. It's kind of like you can go out, but people forget like their own lived experiences. Like, for example, doing the Six World Marathon Majors, for me, like, I saw my friend doing it, so I went to do it. But not everyone's going to have that mindset, think, oh, I could do that. So we've got to bear in mind that's what we're looking at doing. We're trying to look at building that community. So we're doing quite a few trail taster days and helping it with skills and things like that. We've got one in I think the West. We've got one in Epping Forest coming up in November as well, so I'm going to be there.
Oh, I love it. I'm near Epping.
Yeah, you've got to come down. You've got to come down.
Such good running.
But yeah,
mate, I'm in. Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, it goes back to, so we're a UK athletics club, which goes back to the coaching side as well. And we're also a charity as well. So we're looking at sort of raising money. And we've did a little thing recently where we raised money via Strava, and we've helped Trail Fam as well. And they're a community, well, a charity which helps basically young people, you know, in urban environments, get into outdoor spaces. So yeah, I mean, there's so many things that we're looking at doing. And the thing that I look at as well is that you don't have to be Black to be a part of it or an ally. People might see Black Trail and think, oh my gosh, I can't be a part of that because I'm not Black. It's literally not that. It's just more about, for me, it's like I literally don't want the group to exist, and that sounds weird. I want to be the stage where we can all just be like, oh cool, it's just a regular thing. But at the moment there are these barriers which some might not see, but doesn't mean they're not there. It's like looking at the sky and being like, oh, there's no clouds there. Like, there's clouds there. Do you know what I mean? So it's just trying to work through these little things, so it becomes, it's part of the normal conversation. It's not trying to encroach from any of us group or saying that you can't do this because you're whatever. It's just trying to get more people into sport that we love. And I think there's more synergy than I think a lot of people realize.
I agree. Thanks. so much for coming on the podcast, Marcus. It was great to chat to you about your marathon journey and the other things you're trying to achieve in running. If people want to find out a bit more about what you're up to, this is your chance for a plug. Where can they go?
So you can find me on Instagram at TheMarathonMarcus. You can find me on my podcast, all the regular places, A Runner's Life. And if you check out, you know, YouTube, you look at the film, it's called This Is Our London. I think it's got the title The London Marathon, This Is Our London. So yeah, check me out on those sort of platforms. So no, thank you for having me on the podcast.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A huge thanks to our guest Marcus Brown and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to 3 issues of Runner's World for just £5, or 6 for like 15. I don't know, there's loads of deals out there. You should just do it. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnerswellpodcast to get one of these offers. I can't remember which one. Thank you for listening. You can tell all your friends to listen to the Runner's World podcast on Acast, iTunes, and all of their favorite podcast apps. Just tell them to search Runner's World UK. If you haven't already, please subscribe. That's the most important thing. You can leave us a review if you want. That's also good. Make sure it's a nice review, though. We don't want bad ones. And thanks again for listening. See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.